Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He is, of course, part of the Chiefs radio network. You hear him here on 96.5 The Fan. He's brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I know it's a bye week for you. We'll get to that in a second, Danan. But yeah, have you had to switch a number up at some point in your life due to maybe a variety of reasons?
Actually, no. I've had two cell phone numbers in my life, and I've had my current one for the last, 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah. 30 years with the same number. I go back to the days when you could actually pick your cell phone number.
Yeah.
And it was not randomly given to you. So, yes, it's been a luxury.
Dane, and I'm not trying to date you. I mean, was that like a cell phone that was like in a bag in your car? You plugged into the...
Wow.
30 years, man. That's a long time to have a cell phone. Zach Morris' cell phone.
So I've come full circle. I'm on two times around flip phone era. So, that was the old flip phone, Nextel, walkie-talkie. Remember those? I'm dating myself really right now.
Dane, and before we talk about the Chiefs, do or die playoff game situations. You've been in teams that mattered for in college football, in the NFL level. What do you think happens to athletes, or what do you think do they try to avoid letting happen go through their mind? When they know today, it's very simple. Win a baseball game and you get to keep playing baseball games. Lose and your season is over.
Yeah, I think I've definitely been in this situation before, and I think there's different schools of thought, and it's from a player's perspective, but even more so from coaches. And it may not impact the game as much at the MLB level as it would be in the NFL. But I do know the mindset can be similar, and here's what it is. Don't try to not lose. Try to win. Like, it seems simple, but I can tell you from experience, from coaching to playing to being a fan and watching and knowing the games while watching, there are times where coaches and some players consciously or subconsciously make decisions to try not to lose. And that's usually when you lose. It's usually the time when the players go for the win where you see that come to fruition. So, yeah, I've been in that situation. I've had sleepless nights for months afterwards wondering, man, that decision seemed like we were trying not to lose instead of win. Oh, that missed opportunity, that missed catch, that missed swing of the bat. Was I trying to walk versus trying to get a hit? Was I trying to make something happen versus trying not to make a mistake? And I think that's where we are with the Royals. Heck, that's where we've been with the Chiefs in the past, where you can look back at some of the games that didn't go in our favor and wonder, man, were we trying not to lose this game, or did we really just go for the win?
We know the Chiefs, Dana, and obviously thrilled to be 5-0 heading into a bye week. That doesn't get any better than that, but it is an early bye week. I know they have injuries, but they're not the injuries that are like, oh, this guy's coming back in a week or two, so it's good. They're more long-term injuries. Do you think that the early bye week is something the players not really liking right now?
I think the players love bye weeks no matter where they
fair,
come.
Fair, fair.
There's an optimum time. I would like to say that if things are going great, week 10 to week 12 is usually pretty cool, especially if you know you're going to have a stretch in the postseason. But this early, I think there are guys out there that may have been battling through some nagging injuries that love the timing of it now. The only downfall or detriment I see as is that now you're in a situation from week 7 through, week 23, that you're going on this long stretch. You hope to have that number one seed for the playoffs, but if you don't, like, you got to take a deep breath right now, and you won't have the time to exhale. If we achieve our goal, you won't have the time to exhale until mid-February.
When you look at what the Chiefs did on Sunday, Dane, and the consensus now, so I don't think I need to ask you, is that that's the best game they've played on offense. But I think the question we should be asking ourselves at this point is this defense better than last year's? Or is it equally as good as last year's? I think we all kind of just assumed a little half step backwards might exist for a team that might have had the best or the second best defense in the NFL last year. It does not appear like that's the case at all.
Yeah, I think the surprising part is that they picked up right where they left off. Now, whether they are better or the same, I think there still needs to be more of a sample size. Give me until the second quarter of the season is over, and then we can make that declaration. I mean, we got the San Francisco 49ers coming up. If they're fully healthy and they have incentive, obviously with us beating them in the Super Bowl and then having to go out there, there's a test. Tampa can look pretty strong. And then, you know, when you get through at Buffalo, like, I feel like maybe by Thanksgiving we will definitely be able to say whether this team is better or this defense is better than last year. But they're definitely not worse. And I think that's a testament to Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, he's usually had defenses that were relatively slow starters, and that's not the case. And it's so apropos for them to be in a position where, with things, with the injuries, with the inefficiencies on offense, that we're calling on the defense, consistently calling on them to pick us up, and they're coming through week after week. I think that's one of the special stories, and it might be, you know, I don't know if that's going to be a huge chapter in this book of this three-peat run, but it definitely warrants it should be.
We're talking to Dana Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. And after the bye week, you'll hear Mitch Holthus, Dana Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel right here on the Chiefs Radio Network. We were talking about Xavier Worthy, and, you know, I thought it was a good example in that game where even if the stats aren't there and you're not connecting on that 50-yard pass, his ability to draw that pass interference penalty down the field, like, that's the other benefit of having him. Do you think that is something that kind of gets lost at times?
That should be a catch. Now, obviously, you're speaking to a former wide receiver, but that should count for something because it's treated at the NFL level like a catch. But I will say this. How many times have you seen over the course of history, even if it's a short portion of history, last 10 years, where maybe first round or second round picks at the receiver position haven't been utilized the best, maybe not have gotten the production out of them that you thought you would get out of a top round pick because of the circumstances or because of the narrow-mindedness of the coordinators and the head coach and how they use them. Let's just line this guy up outside the numbers. Oh, he's a slot receiver, so we're just going to line him up inside the slot and hope for the best. And then you come into a situation now with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid where he's got three touchdowns and two of them on the ground, out of the backfield. Like, and the last one's literally him positioned in the backfield, not a jet sweep. So I give them all the credit in the world of not just saying we got a 4-2-1 receiver, let's just line him outside and we'll get a pass interference. I still think he needs to get more physical downfield when the ball's thrown up in the air, maybe learn how to use his body to push off. There was one where he went up to try to jump for, and I thought maybe if he'd have just pushed off a little bit and caught the ball on the outside of his shoulder, like we were taught as receivers to use your body and positioning on deep balls, that would have been a great play. Now, I'm not going to, you know, knock him for that. That's just part of the growth process. But even while growing in that aspect, we have an offense that's utilizing him in great opportunities otherwise, with the running game, with the jet sweeps, and then obviously withdrawing those kind of penalties downfield. So I give these guys credit for being creative and not feeling like they got a pigeonhole, a 4-2-1 receiver.
Danan, were you more surprised that Juju Smith-Schuster or Kareem Hunt were able to turn back the clock on Sunday?
Juju for sure. Juju for sure. And how about this? Like, when you get Jody Fortson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kareem Hunt, like, you're getting cast-offs that were here before. Maybe you can wonder, okay, if they capitalized. I don't know if that's the right terminology, if they capitalized on free agency or opportunities away from this organization. And those organizations not only are losers, but they couldn't figure out how to use them. And then we take them back, and we figure out right away how to use them. Like, yep. There's something to be said about Brett Veach, the scouting department, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, because we're talking about the offensive guys, that We are, like, if you are their former coach or the GMs of those teams that went and got them in free agency or the scouting departments that thought that they would be good fits and then you let them go only to see them flourish back where they came from, where you liked them when before you took them. Like, there's some dynamic there that's just totally entertaining to me, that you can see guys resurrect their careers on a championship team. We're not talking about an 0-16 team. We're talking about championship teams that allowed you to go away in free agency just to embrace you back and then pick up right where you left off. It's just an amazing thing to me. And I will say also, it's a note for a lot of young kids out there, whether you're in high school, in college, going through transfer portals, or if you're free agents that are listening, or you get a chance to hear this, never burn your bridges. Never burn your bridges. You never know where things can come full circle, and those guys are a testament to it. But the surprise definitely is Juju.
I was going to say that. Never burn your bridge. That applies to non-sports as well, Dan. I think anybody can take that advice. That's for sure. Bye week for you. Are you going up to Iowa? You guys got the Huskies coming in. What's the plan for the bye week?
I originally thought about heading up to Hawkeye Land, but I actually have my daughter's baby shower.
So
family in town. So it'll be grandchild number 4 due in December.
Congrats.
Shout out to my daughter Savvy and her husband Mario. So maybe I'll get to play some golf or something afterwards, but I'm the host this weekend for a baby shower.
There you go. You're going to be awfully busy then. Sounds good, Dane, and appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week.
All right, fellas.